from the sound of that hunting call, it must be time for another Music 112A online podcast. Thanks for all the nice comments about the previous podcasts. Feel free to share those with me. Also, the not nice comments, if you happen to have those, and I'll be happy to try to address any shortcomings. I have graded your homework and returned it to you. There is also a link that you may have seen already, and maybe you've already gone through that before listening to this, where I actually worked through the homework myself with a pencil and paper on the screen. Feel free to use that if you like. That's purely optional. I am going to play through the homework solution that I came up with on mine, because the one thing I didn't like about the way that I was finally able to do the pencil version of the homework was that I wasn't able to play the piano along with it. I won't get into why that is. But anyway, the example on page 239A should have sounded something like this. And letter C, something like this. So I hope that's maybe of some help. All right, moving along. Today we're going to talk first about expanding the predominant. We're going to be starting on page 333. Now, we've covered some of this already. If you look back to around page 272, if you happen to have your text with you, and if not, you probably remember we talked about a couple of different ways of expanding the predominant. One was a very simple way, as illustrated at the top of page 334, where you just move from 2 to 2-6. In that example. So the time-tested way to expand any chord, just move between two different inversions, or especially root position and first inversion. So we have, two chord with A in the bass, moving to 2-6 with C in the bass. A nice little voice exchange between the outer voices. In any case, we take the predominant function, let it take up a little bit more time by having two different inversions right in a row like that. We also talked about that strange thing called the 4-2 complex, where you move from a 4 chord to a 2-6 chord, where the bass stays put and you have the 5-6 motion above that. You might want to review back to page 272 to 273 on that. I'm going to try to get a PDF of that 4-2 complex business up on the website for you. Pardon me, I have to cough. But today, we're going to talk about four new ways of expanding predominance. The first three through the use of passing chords, and then the fourth way by restating material at a different pitch level. So here we go on page 334. It says device number one for expanding predominant, a passing chord between 2 and 2-6. So let's look at example 12.10. So here in measure 2, we're in 3-4 time. So we start out on the downbeat with a 2 chord in root position. On the third beat, we get to the 2-6. So that's just the moving between two different inversions to expand a chord. But here we're going to insert a passing chord if we look at the bass line. So we're going to use the B in the bass as a passing tone. Then we're going to make a passing chord over that, which happens to be spelled like a one chord. And so they have the Roman numeral 1-6. You might remember those things where I like put a Roman numeral in quotation marks, and I might do this here. I might put 1-6 in quotation marks because, of course, it doesn't function as any kind of tonic. It's on a weak beat. It's in the inversion. And it's really just a way of getting from one, from the root position two chord to the first inversion two chord just by passing through. On a weak beat, temporary, nothing tonic about that. And you can see that the PD in the second level analysis extends for that complete measure. So that works just as well from 2 up to 2-6 and from 2-6 back to 2. Here's the backwards version. Instead of. So that's easy. Number 2. This is still on page 334, and the musical example is on 335. Here's the example. That one's pretty dark. So here we have a passing chord between 4 and 4-6. So what worked between 2 and 2-6 should also work between 4 and 4-6. 4-6 chord to 4 chord in root position. 4-6, 4. And here, again, we have a chord that's used as a passing chord in between those. That is, yes, a G minor chord in second inversion, and we're in the key of G minor. So you can spell it as 1-6-4. You could just put P-6-4 there also, or you could put 1-6-4 in quotations. Just make sure you realize this is a whole measure of predominant. Nothing tonic about that second eighth note at all. I'm not sure if they corrected this error in your edition of the Lates text, but in mine, the PD in the second level doesn't appear until the third eighth note of that second measure with the C octave in the left hand. Obviously, that should be PD right on the downbeat of the second measure. Here's the whole example. PD, D. All right, that's pretty straightforward. Example 12, more of the same here in C minor now. And so we have here in measure 2, same kind of thing with a tonic spelled chord that doesn't function as a tonic, but 1-6-4 used as a passing chord, this time between 4 and 2 half diminished 6-5. 4-6, passing 6-4, 2 half diminished 6-5. And then on to the dominant. Again, pretty straightforward use of a passing chord. Number 4 is a little bit different. Unfortunately, this example occurs on two different pages of the book. I'm going to try to do a quick page turn in between them. Let's see how this goes. So, something like that. So, what we have here. T- tonic expansion, ending on the five chord, and then going on. This is restating the opening material up a step. So just take the same material, restate it, instead of on the one chord, on the two chord. And what happens here? This is what we're going to call in a couple of weeks an applied leading tone chord. We have a D sharp that moves to an E. So it's kind of like you're borrowing from the key of E minor. That could be all just in E minor. But of course, here it's set in the context of a D major passage. So it's really just expanding the E minor chord by having three measures or so of music. That sounds like it's in E minor, but it's really just using E minor as the two chord of D major that has control over the overall phrase. I can almost play that. So here, expanding the predominant area by restating the material that was in the tonic, restating it a step up in the key area of two, and then ending with a perfect authentic cadence. So that's it for expanding the predominant. The next thing we're going to do in this podcast is a little in-class analysis. And if you could turn or open your in-class analysis PDF to example 4, it should say Mozart Symphony number 36 in C major. And here's a little example. I'm going to play this. Then I'm going to ask you to find several things about this. And let me go ahead and play it, and then we'll talk about it. Like I played a wrong note in there somewhere. Let's try it again. This is a really beautiful example and perfectly chosen for where we are right now in our analysis. What I would like you to do on this is identify the key, identify any cadences, put in the Roman numerals for first level, put in the second level, and in doing the second level, you are going to find an EPM, an embedded phrase model. Normally we call them EPMs. Find the EPM. And then also for any sevenths, look for their resolutions down by step. And sometimes they may also be prepared. Go ahead and give that a shot, and then I'm going to add a little video where I work through this with pencil and paper. And now I will go through this analysis here at the piano and talk through it. Hopefully you've already done this on your own, and maybe watch the other video. So, it's key of F major. Don't be fooled because it says Symphony number 36 in C major, but this is obviously a passage that is in F major. If we look at the bass line, and here I've left you yearning for the tonic. Did I thwart your expectations of resolution? Maybe not. So it ends with a half cadence. We finally get to an incomplete five chord, a C major chord. Obviously that's five of the key of F. Now you may have noticed in the first three measures, what we're doing in the bass voice is just doing a little neighboring tone motion around the tonic called a neighbor group. And if we look at the chords, that's all just basically the tonic chord going on to the second bar. A G minor triad, so a two chord. Now here in the bass, G is the root of the two chord. When we add the F while maintaining the G minor triad above it, it turns that into effectively a 2-4-2, a 2-7 chord in third inversion, the seventh in the bass. It resolves down by step to a 5-6-5 chord. And then to one. So we have one for the whole first measure, 2-2-4-2-5-6-5-1. So 1-2-5. One, if we disregard the inversions, and that is in fact your embedded phrase model, your EPM. So F, one, two is the like predominant, 5-6-5 is the dominant, and then one back to tonic. So a little mini phrase model, TPDDT. But within the grand scheme of this phrase, you've just expanded the tonic with a circular motion around tonic. You get back to the one chord on which you started on the downbeat of measure three. In measure three, the so-called Parsons progression. 1-4-6. 1-6, another way of expanding the tonic. You go from 1 to 1-6 by way of the 4-6 chord. But it's really just like going 1 to 1-6, except the long way with a 4-6 in between. Again, since the beginning of this example, we've had nothing but a tonic expansion. 1-2-5-6-5, root position 1-4-6-1-6. Last chord of the third measure. Two, six, five. G is the root. G, B flat, D, F. Notice that it's a complete chord. G in the tenor, B flat in the bass, D in the soprano, F in the alto. This is a predominant seventh chord. The G is the seventh. Notice how it's dissonant with the root of the chord. Sevenths are always dissonant. And an ornamented resolution. So we want that F to resolve down to E, and it finally gets there, but it has to wait for a while, and then a little ornamentation, but it finally gets there. Another sort of unusual resolution of the cadential 6-4 here. Downbeat of the last measure of this example. Got a sixth above the sixth above the bass, and a fourth above the bass. Normally those would both resolve down. In this case, the soprano note does resolve down, although it's an ornamented resolution. The sixth above the bass, the tenor note, doesn't resolve down to the expected G. It resolves all the way up to an octave above the bass through a little very beautiful chromatic motion. So, an unorthodox or irregular resolution of the cadential 6-4, but still, we can see that the cadential 6-4 functions as part of a dominant construction, finally getting to the dominant and the half cadence. Now you can go look at the pencil and paper version of that. I wish I could do this all at the same time, but I couldn't figure out a way to make it both sound good and look good at the same time. So I'm giving you two different versions depending on whether you're a visual learner or an aural learner, or maybe both. So pick and choose, do whatever works for you. Your homework assignment is, I have to go look that up. Hang on a second. I am back. The homework that will be due Thursday, April 2nd, is an analysis homework. And if you look in the workbook excerpts, page 243 in the workbook, it's exercise 12.5. You've got three examples, A, B, and C. I'd like you to do all three. You can determine the key, determine any cadences, analyze first level the Roman numerals, second level, look for EPMs, embedded phrase models, and look for how the predominant function may be expanded. This is an interesting little assignment, and we'll review this in some detail next time. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I hope you're doing well and staying out of the way of that coronavirus. Not necessarily the corona, well, we won't get into that. Anyway, this is Dr. Koppelman signing off. Until next time, for more Music 112A online.